Once again, we want to thank you for coming out today. And we just pray that the Lord will bless you. I know the Lord wants to bless each one of us, but we've got to also do our part. But I want to turn to John chapter 2. And there's a word there that, one word that I want to look at this morning. And, you know, we can get in and take a chapter and we can go verse by verse and talk about it and see what God's word says about it. But, you know, I like going in and taking one word from a verse of scripture and then allow God to put the meat on it. But this morning, I just want us to just think about some things that the Lord has given each one of us. And I do thank him for his mercy. I do thank him for his grace. Most of all, I thank him for saving me. He didn't have to, but I sure am glad he did. And I know that I'm not what I need to be for him, but I'm trying my very best to do what he asked me to do. And that's all he asked. He only asked something reasonable from us. He don't ask for anything that's that we can't deliver. But here in John chapter 2, saying that here, come on, the pages are sticking. Must have spit on too much. But here in John chapter 2, and the first part of it, we see where the marriage took place there in Canaan, and we see the first miracle there where water was turned into wine, and we've got the first Passover. But here in verse 15, it says this, "And when he had made a scorn of small cords, he drove them out." He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, "Take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house had eaten me up." Now remember the word thou, zeal. "Then answered the Jews and said unto them, him, what sign showeth thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." I'm so thankful that when God sent his son here, and he sent his son here for a purpose and for a reason, and the purpose and the reason was us. The purpose and the reason was for me. The reason he went. And the reason he had said right here, said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. When he's speaking about that, he's speaking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We had to have that so we could ever get, so we could get saved. So we could just ask him to save our unworthy soul. But let's get back up there to that word that I spoke about and read about back up there in verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." We see right here where the zeal, and we as individuals, we need to remember that we can take that zeal and we can apply it to our life, and that's what he wants us to do. But I want to bring a message today on this thought. Swallowed up with zeal. The house of God is where most of us were saved. The house of God is where all of us have been fed spiritually and have grown in the grace of God. We don't grow in the grace of God outside. We grow by the grace of God inside in his sanctuary. In Amos chapter 3, it says, "Can two men walk together except they be agreed?" Verse 3, the question in verse 3 through 6 are calculated to show Israel how her sin had separated her from God. Sin will always separate us from God. Over there in, I think it is the first book of John, it says down there talking about the fellowship that we need to realize, and the only way we can have that fellowship is in the house of God. We can have the same fellowship out of the house of God, but we must come in and worship him in spirit and in truth. And there, at the foot, in the footnotes there of what's his, the preacher's name? Oh, Dr. Schofield. He put down in his notes there at the bottom that he said, speaking about the fellowship and speaking about sin, he says, if you sin, you have an opportunity to go to the Father or go to the Son of God and go to the Holy Spirit and ask them to forgive you your sin. And if you do it instantaneously when something comes upon your mind or a thought and say, "Well, Father, forgive me for that thought. I won't look at it that way, but just forgive me for it." We are not separated from God. But a whole lot of times, the reason we are separated from God is because when sin comes upon us, we really don't know what to do about it. Because we are thinking about, well, you know, I just don't know if that's considered a sin or not. You know, you can look at it one way, then you can look at it another way. But if the whole thing does not give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a sin. It is a sin. And anytime that we don't go to God and ask him for forgiveness, what happens? I'm not having fellowship with God no longer that day or that moment. As long as I have not confessed that sin. But if I go and if I confess that sin unto him, immediately he forgives me. And I can be in complete fellowship with him once again. Now I believe the individuals today that is out of the fellowship of God, and I believe that they are people that are the most miserable people that they are. Because they know how it is when they come to the house of God and how they can be blessed by God in his house. And I know I've had people to tell me, say, well, I can just be just as blessed if I stay home on Sunday and if I listen to the TV preacher. I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever went to the TV and have you ever stuck your hand out right to the TV tube? And has the preacher ever stuck his hand back at you and to shake your hand? He don't even realize that you even exist. But yet we give them all the praise. And yes, and we do, and we'll send them a love offering. We'll send them the tithes. I know people right now today sends tithes and offering unto some of these preachers. It's on the TV. Well, they don't need it. Because the reason they don't need it, I believe, is because you listen to them and they say, well, hey, we need to raise $300,000 toward the end of the month. What are they going to do with that $300,000? They're going to use it to benefit them. They're not going to use it to benefit God, because, and I listen to a whole lot of them. I listen just about all of them. And I've never heard one of them say, you give as the Lord leads, and we will take it and we will supply it to other nations. We will supply it to the missionaries overseas. We'll supply it to the missionary right here in the States. No, they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. Why? Because it won't line their back pocket. And that's what they are. But churches here in Danville, Virginia, this church right here, sometimes we struggle. But with what we're doing, we're still honoring God. But people don't look at it that way. People look at it and say, well, I know what you're going to use the money for. You're going to use the money for this and that and everything. One thing that I loved about this church, and one thing that really impressed me when I come down here, was the missionaries that y'all supported. And y'all just didn't support maybe the missionaries we supported. We support them $100 a month, all total. No. The church has learned that they're supposed to tithe on what you give as a whole, because we're one body. We're supposed to tithe as one body to God's work. And that's what impressed me more than anything. And that's the reason the Lord has blessed us. That's the reason we ain't never had to go and we've had to get to the point that we had to do this and we've had to close this and change this. Why? Because God is in the midst. We know He's there, but we need to give Him honor and we need to give Him praise and glory. And I don't understand why are we going so long before God really comes in and blesses us. But I will tell you this, just like He says in His word, He's going to come when we least expect it. He's going to come as a thief in the night. See, that thief, when he comes to your home, what does he do? He comes and He searches it out. He searches out the community and he says, I notice they leave just about every night at the same time. Ain't nobody there. Now, they don't even have to do that. You know what they have to do?
They just had all the thieves and the robbers and the enemy and the devil. All they have to do is get on it. Facebook. Get on Facebook, and they will find out in their neighborhood who's going to be at home and who's not. They'll find out who's going to be on vacation this week. They're going to find out where they're going. And then the people will come back, and they've been broken. Well, what? Come on, Fanny. We ain't got no law enforcement around here. Oh, yes, we have. We just don't have no people that wants to protect their own property. Don't get me wrong. Facebook, I think when it first come out, and it was good. And there's still a whole lot of good things on there. But every one good thing that's on the Facebook, there's 10 others that's not even worth even reading and looking at. Why? Because, see, that's one of the devil, I believe that right there is one of the devil's biggest weapons that he has today on the church is Facebook. Facebook is good. You can use it. You can use it to either promote God's work. And if you ain't promoting God's work, you're promoting the devil's work. We don't need to promote the devil's work, because we have too many people out here already promoting his work. But I'm so thankful that I can honestly say that I have the zeal come from God Almighty. The zeal for God's house will eat up all the bitterness that I have. Because when I come into God's house, I don't think about people outside. My mind and my every thought is on what is here and bringing God to glory and God to honor. The zeal for God's house should eat up all the selfishness that we have. We're selfish people. We are. Don't look at yourself and say, well, I know I ain't selfish. You need to think about it. We're all selfish. Because, see, if we don't do it, we don't think it can get done. No. If we don't allow God to do it, it's not going to get done. As long as I put myself in front of God, it's not going to get done. There are so many today who serve God. For what? For what they can get out of God. That's the only reason that you have a whole lot of people out here serving him. That's a whole lot of people that you have out here doing, and some of the things that they're doing is see what they can get out of God. Hey, God don't have to give me nothing else. God don't have to bring no more blessings to my life. He don't have to bless me. He don't have to bless my family. He don't have to do anything, because he's already done enough. Now it's time for me to do something for him. He wants to hear from me. He wants to hear from the people. He wants to hear from his children. When was the last time that you thought about, in times past or even recently, I don't know, that you went 3 or 4 days, or maybe you went a month or something like that, and you haven't heard a thing from your children? You haven't heard a thing. You don't know where your children's at. You don't even know what they're doing. But see, with God, God knows where our children's at. See, God knows exactly what our children are doing. But our children have forsaken Him. They don't speak to Him anymore. They don't want to talk to Him anymore. Hey, I can't go one day. I cannot go 1 hour without talking to God, because He's made a way that I can talk to Him. And that way is through prayer. And God can communicate with me. When I communicate with God, then God's going to communicate with me. And He communicates with through me, to me through the Word of God as I read it.
The Word of God. The zeal for God's house. Should not have no foolishness in it. We should not even have no kind of foolishness at all when we get down to the preaching of God's Word, or when we get down to the teaching of God's Word. Then that's when we all need to get together and we need to say, now it's time just to be quiet and listen. But a whole lot of times we don't want to be quiet. We don't want to be listening. I'm the same way that you are. I just don't want to listen sometime to Him. And I pay the price too. You end up paying the price too. I can remember here a couple, 2 or 3 years ago. The Lord asked me to go and do something for Him. I just kept putting it off. Me and my wife was out riding one day. I think we was coming back from Reedsville or Eden or somewhere. And all of a sudden, the transmission in the car that she drives started slipping. Started slipping too bad. I didn't even think I was going to even make it home. But all I had to do was make a right, and I could go down to the transmission man and let him look at it. It cost me. It cost me about $2,200 because I wouldn't listen to God. You said, well, how'd you pay for it? Well, I'll come up with the money somehow. I don't know how I done it. But we have to be careful in what we do. We have to be careful in the promises that we make to God. Because if we make a promise unto God, we need to keep that promise. Just like Jacob vowed unto God. Jacob vowed unto God that he was going to serve Him at every cost. But then what happened? Jacob had to come and he had to apologize to God. And I know, and there's a couple verses there in the Bible is speaking about the same thing, where God is apologizing. But I don't think God is apologizing for Himself. He's apologizing for the people when the people won't apologize. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidence set forth, crucified among you. O foolish Galatians. Have you ever heard that from God? O foolish Donnie, you're putting more your faith in religion. You don't need to put your faith in religion. You need to put your faith in Me. And that's the reason He calls us foolish. Foolish why? Because we don't understand it. We don't know what the Scripture says. Confession is foolishness. And anything that does not glorify our God in the church is foolishness. Therefore, our zeal should eat up all the foolishness that we have. We should not even think about anything foolish, because we don't serve a foolish God. We serve a true God. We serve a God that wants the very best for me. He wants the very best for you. But sometimes we don't look at it that way. Sometimes we look at it like, well, you know, I know I've heard in the past God's looking after me and He wants the very best for my life. But you know, Lord, if I go and do this, I believe it'll bring some honor and some glory. I can trust in myself. I believe. No. We need to believe in Him. And Him only. Him and Him only should I believe and should I trust for everything that I have. The zeal that is swallowed up day by day by the different things that comes up in our lives. We have the zeal of the house of God that has been to the point now it's not the house of God anymore, but it's the house of the devil. The house of the devil, which is worldliness. We cannot come in and expect God to bless us if we come in and if we don't leave the world outside. Just like I said to you before, I said we come into God's house to worship Him. We go through them doors to serve Him. To serve Him outside. If a person has no respect for themselves, you think they're going to have any respect for you? You think they're going to have any respect for me? You think they're going to have any respect for God's house? No. Because you can look at them and you can tell. You don't have to be around them about 5 minutes. And you can tell who they respect. They don't even respect themselves. They don't respect their parents. They need to. The zeal for God's house should remove all the emptiness that we have that's within His bones. It should not be empty, and it should not be full of what the devil wants us to do. It needs to be completely full of the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what did I say right the first of it? The death, burial, and the resurrection. See, that's what He did. He done it just for me. Did you know with the number of people here, if there was just one of you living and breathing, no one else, you could have no fellowship with no one else, because there would be no one else on the face of this earth. You wouldn't have nobody oversee, you wouldn't even have a church to go to. You wouldn't have nobody to come in. But did you realize that the same God that I serve
He would send his own darling son to this earth to walk upon this earth and be tempted by Satan and people plucking his beard out and they cursing him. Even Peter cursed him. Even Peter denied him. But see, if God, if he didn't have all of them, if he didn't have the 12 disciples, if he didn't have nobody else, if he didn't have the Roman soldiers or nothing, he'd have still climbed that hill to Golgotha. And as he's climbing up that hill, the angels was right there with him. The angels was helping him carry the cross. And when he got up out on the top of the hill, and when the cross was laying there, the Lord Jesus Christ laid down upon the cross. Then the angels would have took and nailed his hands, his wrist. The angels would have nailed his feet to the post. The angels would have planted the crown on his head and pushed it down to where blood was running down in his face. Couldn't even recognize him. And then the angel took up the spear that God had given them and it jabbed into his side. But Jesus and the angel and God is around. But then he seen the Father told him, said, "Son, now I got one individual that is left here on the face of this earth. One individual that you need to go to." He would have went to the cross and he would have died. He would shed every drop of blood, every speck of blood. He would be completely cleansed out because of you. That's what he went to the cross for, was because of me and because of you. He went to the cross for the whole wide world, for all of humanity. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, I pray, Lord, that something was said or done this morning, Father, that will stir the hearts of the people. And, Lord, if there's anyone there in the midst right now, Father, that they think that they need to come to an old-fashioned altar, and, Lord, that they may come and they will just come unto thee and ask, Lord, for thy help. We need your help today because, Father, we are people that are hurting. We're people that are dying. There are people that we come in contact with every day of our life. And then we'll pick up a paper and we'll see the obituary column. And we'll see where their life has been snatched away from each one of us. Father, we do not know if they're saved, don't know if they're lost. But my prayer is that they, yes, they begged you to save their soul before they took that last breath. And Father, I know, Lord Jesus, they may not be able to speak, but they don't have to speak. Father, because they've given us the mind that we can speak with our hearts. As there is 1 ounce of breath that's left there, you will speak to that breath and that heart can commune with you, Father. Save them before it's everlasting too late. And Father, we pray, God, this week,
that you may help each one of us as individuals, as Christians, as people that know you as our personal Savior, Father. Help us, Lord, that we may be able to go out here and tell somebody else about Jesus. And don't worry about if we think we can do it or not. No, I know I can't do it. I can't do it. They can't either without your help. So, Father, we do need thy help as we go out of these doors today to serve you. And thank you for the sweet, sweet spirit this morning. Thank you for the sweet fellowship that we've had. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.